In the beginning, there was a creation of a small plastic case. In this case, there was an item called a DVD. When the DVD was placed inside the machine, the first movie was being watched. This allowed the Extra Features podcast to begin.
Welcome to episode 76 of Extra Features. I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon.
I'm Karen.
Bobby the Jern.
And Deb.
Yay, Deb's still here.
Hey,
hold on. How come everybody gets a name and I still get the added intern? Huh?
Could you are the intern.
Okay. What's this I hear about a song?
Song?
What do you mean a song?
A song?
Somebody sent me an email that said we were going to have an Extra Features song.
Oh, we finally touched that? It's coming.
Is it coming?
I'm going to send it to you. I'm supposed to record it with my buddy. It's coming. This music is late. It's not a song.
Are you
going to
sing a
new intro.
The theme song.
Hopefully. No, it's not a theme song. It's an
extra
intro.
Extra Features.
I asked you for input on it, and you sent me nothing.
Input.
Nothing.
You were writing a theme song.
I said intro. It's not a theme song.
No. You said song.
Called Extra Features.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Water movies that Simon makes us watch.
Is that what you want to sound like?
The metal version?
I don't know what it's going to be. My buddy's a musician. He's written some music. I don't know.
As long as we're not singing, that would be like.
I am not even singing it. So don't worry.
You know, because none of us can sing.
Speak for yourself.
Listen, so maybe get up a stone back to do it.
Maybe.
Because that.
Sounds good.
We belong.
So that's if people are hearing this, say, well, no, we're
watching movies.
I can't use the intro for this one. We're doing the Captain America.
Wait a minute. I have a treat for this. Yes.
Really? Let's do it.
Intro. Okay, here we go. One goes out to the Comic Culture Podcast with Walt and Chris, because that's all they do is they just record right off the internet.
Does it really?
Yeah, they put little songs in their pieces and stuff.
How much is it?
Yes, it is. Captain America,
the movie. Yeah, that's true. Really.
First Avenger.
Oh, not the movie serials?
Not the movie serials.
I saw the wrong thing?
Where the guy in his pajamas running around.
That's what I thought we were doing.
I thought we were watching the one with the guy with the clear
eyes. Yeah, we should have thrown
around in a panel van.
No way.
Down by the river.
Well, I was wondering what happened to Doug Simpson. I guess what he's doing.
Captain America in World War II. Yeah. So I'm going to drive across America in a panel van.
I thought we were watching the one when he goes to Italy and fights the Red Skull in Italy. No, we're not doing that one.
What is that happening?
I'm going to make the American deep pasta.
The pasta all day. You come here, Captain.
I'm going to face, and then I'm going to have it fixed.
That was a horrible movie.
Yes, defeat democracy through carbo loading.
Works well.
Catcher in the Shield. With J.D. Salinger's grandson or son.
That's what. No, it's his son.
His son.
Red Brown's son.
No, Red Brown's son. It's something Salinger.
Jason Salinger.
Sorry, wrong guy. Whatever, it was crap.
All right. No, we're talking about Joe Johnston's directed.
Oh, wrong movie.
Chris Evans starring Tommy Lee Jones, Haley Atwell, Hugo Weaving, Samuel L. Jackson, Dominic Cooper as a young comic star, Sebastian Stan, Stanley Tucci, Neil McDonough as Dum Dum Doobie, Toby Jones, Derek Luke, Natalie Dormer as a seductive girl working at home. Amanda Rigetti is a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. It's Captain America. Who saw it?
Bob, go ahead.
I saw it. Loved it. There was only... I had an issue with one part, though. Like, when he goes on tour with the USO, after he gets his powers, and Tommy Lee Jones doesn't want him to go to war. He doesn't want him to do anything but sit and stew in the lab. He goes on a USO tour. Captain America goes on a USO tour.
but that
other
was
than that,
the,
it was great.
That was done in the 40s, 30s.
Yeah, but
that made sense.
Yeah.
But there was singing and dancing, Bob. I love that.
Actually, Bob choreographed that scene, actually.
Yeah, but I thought you were on my side.
No, I am, though, but then that was a part of the singing and dancing.
I never read that part, unless that was in the comics, and you two would know that better than me. I don't remember that being part of this.
When's the last time you read a Cap comic, Kev?
Oh, I read Captain America all the time.
Oh, do you? I've read one.
I like
Brubaker.
So was that part of his origin?
No.
There you go.
It was not part of his origin. It was an explanation for where the goofy suit came from.
Okay.
Okay, so as you know from watching the film,
yeah.
They make the suit
first.
So that he can go on this USO
tour.
Oh,
all right.
And they do the comic books that actually show kids reading the actual Captain America #1 by Simon and Kirby.
Right.
It's all the way to tie in why there's Captain America in comics.
Okay.
You know, to say that this was a creation of the War Department, not necessarily Marvel Comics,
right.
To sell the idea of a super soldier to the people.
Oh, propaganda.
Yeah. So he's basically an actor, but the twist is, of course, that he really is. The story is his story.
Right.
And it was a nice twist.
No,
and I liked the fact that he wore the Golden Age Captain America costume in those scenes. And it was just undeniably that costume, the same one that the guy in the serial wore, basically the black and white serial from 1941 or 42. Like, basically a turtleneck sweater with a hood.
Well, now that you explain it, okay, I can see where it's going.
Well, I thought the USO show, this is just me, by the way, but I thought the US show was also a way to get a super soldier who is not attached to any regular military unit to get him into the European theater of war without
right.
anybody noticing, like hide him in plain sight.
Well,
good explanation.
Right, but he wasn't a super soldier. I mean, he could have been a super soldier, but the army didn't know what to do with him. They decided they just wanted to study him and see if they could make more of him, and he wouldn't go for it, and the War Department gave him another option, which was to go on tour and raise morale, which he did. And he got into it, which is the thing. And so when he's finally sent over to Europe, he's right into it. He's right into the whole act. He loves the singing. He loves the dancing and all that other part of it. And he's not relating with the troops. You think he's just a giant joke. So, and it sets him up then to redeem himself in their eyes as well. I love this movie. I love this movie. Amazing. This was one of the best Marvel movies yet. And I loved Thor and I loved Iron Man.
Well, so did I.
Yeah. You didn't like this one?
I thought the movie was a boring
piece of crap. Oh, my God.
I absolutely hated it.
Oh, you have no...
Why am I surprised?
And Cap
died.
For the first hour going... Blah, 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 blah. I thought I was hitting a bobblehead watching it run the whole time with his head on the kid. This movie is slow.
Ugh.
Oh, my God.
So
really?
I'm rolling my eyes.
Absolutely.
Okay, I love this movie.
Oh, my God. You wait.
You're alone.
You can wait.
I love this movie.
Even without Carrie.
Then we get to the second act. It's like they had the second totally different movie.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, explain to me something. Look at this, kind of. Look at the Hydra's base and it's like 2010.
No, it doesn't. All right, well, Hydra is advanced military. Hydra is...
I know what Hydra is.
Developing advanced weapons.
Oh!
For the Nazis.
Okay,
and
explain
and
to me how Captain America could beat them. They're running around with these high-powered weapons vaporizing everybody, and they
right.
can't tell 50 guys escaping?
Well, they're Nazis, you know. They're generally inept in other movies.
Okay, here's my biggest problem with this movie.
Okay.
Captain America is chasing Hugo with the Red Skull.
Right.
And they get there and goes, I am one of you, and rips off his fake mask.
Yes.
And you see the Red Skull. He never puts it back on?
No, he decides never
to. No, he never does something. I'm going to be the Red Skull now. Why aren't you the effing Red Skull the whole movie?
Well, actually, they kind of explain that. In that he's trying to pretend to be normal.
I got that.
For the sake of the other Nazis. But once he kills them all, there's no point.
So that's
any
why
longer.
I must have been napping at that
once
point.
He, once he decides to kill the other, the representatives of the
Yeah, I saw him doing that.
Then he, like, there's no point. He actually says, I don't need to pretend like I'm normal, like them, which is what they want.
Right.
They want Aryan purity. I'm no longer that example of Aryan purity.
Yeah, because he says that to Cap. Me and you were one of the same.
But I am made greater by my disfigurement than they are. And that way, everybody is my enemy. No longer just the Americans.
Must have been having my snooze in my pillow.
Everybody in the world is his enemy, and he's got a plan to wipe out every major government.
But I will give this movie full credit. I thought Haley Atwater was excellent.
Who's that?
Atwell.
Atwell, sorry.
Haley Atwell is...
The lovely...
Sharon Carter?
Peggy Carter.
And I love Howie's Commandos. They were done perfect. I was really impressed. I loved all the scenes with the Commandos.
Neil McDonough was one of my choices to play Cap years ago because I thought he had the right look.
I'm not saying I hated everything about this, but I didn't enjoy it. The overall storyline I didn't like. I liked the individual scenes I can enjoy. I loved Hugo Weaving's Red Skull.
What really sold this movie to me was Chris Evans.
I kept saying, fly him on the whole movie. Every time you do something, fly him on.
It's so different that... The beginning scenes when he's weakling.
Bobblehead Cap?
And that was weird, yeah. That was kind of weird with the computer-generated body.
Well, that's what threw me off.
But the relationship with the...
The doctor.
Right, whose name I can't remember.
Erskine.
Yeah, Dr. Erskine.
Stanley.
Played by Stanley Tucci, just perfect. Just adding so much character and personality to a role that generally is faced.
He did a great job.
Einstein in the comic, basically. But yeah, just that scene where he goes and he offers Steve the drink and he goes, am I crazy? I can't just drink the other procedure tomorrow. But I don't. So I'll drink yours too. You know, just nice little moments. Little character bits. So.
And I love Chris Evans too. I was not expecting to at all. And I think what this movie did right is the fact that they spent so much time establishing who the character of Steve Rogers was before he gets the super soldier serum. He's a hero long before he gets anywhere near that serum. And I think that's why the movie works, is that the character of Steve is sweet, he's decent, he's heroic, he really is pure of heart. And he's still that guy once he gets, you know, the super soldier body. And he never loses that quality.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, he now has the physique and the strength to match his personality.
Yeah.
Right?
Simon was saying you expect him to say flame on. But when I saw this, that's not what I was expecting. I was expecting to see the Human Torch, Johnny Storm character when I heard about him playing that. But when I actually saw it, I forgot all about that. And just saw him as Captain America Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
I mean, he can make you forget that he was the Human Torch and move on to Captain America. Actually, there was one point, I don't know whether you two being comics fans, of course you would have seen it, in the exposition, they had the guy under the glass.
The Human Torch,
and they talked about Professor Wharton.
Yeah,
I noticed that. And
I wanted to be Aaron Zola. I thought Tony Jones did a great job.
Aaron Zola, yes.
That was really good.
You know, two great performances from him this year. One in this and another in Your Highness.
I hope Your Highness is on the next
episode. Yes, Lee.
I can't wait.
Okay.
And I kept expecting him to wind up in the sort of the Silver Age body that we associate with Arnim Zola. But
we may.
But that'll be in, if we see it, it'll be in the Avengers movie. I thought it might come at the end of the Cap movie. You know, robot body with like a camera sticking out and like the screen, television screen with the face on it. Oh, those monkeys.
Well, on that note, I think everybody except Simon really loved this movie. Simon just sort of liked it.
Sort of.
You know, what do you think? Compared to Thor, better or worse?
I like Thor better.
Okay.
I really enjoy it. So Thor, I'm expecting nothing from.
Right.
Like, and it blew me away. This, I was expecting a lot, and I didn't get it. And I think that's my biggest issue with it. I don't know what I was looking for. It wasn't this. But I know I'm in the minority.
I've got to tell you, I love the ending.
The ending was excellent.
Oh. You know, when he wakes up in the room and the baseball game's on, he's like...
Runs around.
I was at that game. You know, like, if you're going to play a game, you know, it should be one that I wasn't at. Like, when he's in the room, and the radio's playing, and it's a baseball game.
Yes. Oh, yes. Sorry.
Hit me. He's like, you know, I knew it was false the minute I woke up because I was at that baseball game. And and then just the it was jarring to go from 1945 or 4 or whatever year it was to suddenly he wakes up and he's running in 2011.
That was
kind of
fun. I like that. Samuel Jackson.
See how the city had changed in all that time period and so forth. How New York had changed. It was great. I really enjoyed it. All right, next movie on our list is Cars 2, directed by Brad Lewis and John Lasseter. Stars Owen Wilson, Larry the Cable Guy, Emily Mortimer, Michael Caine, Joe Mantegna, Eddie Izzard, John Turturro, Bonnie Hunt, Tony Shalhoub, Vanessa Summers, and Bruce Campbell. So, Bruce Campbell's in this?
Am I the only one that saw this movie again?
I thought you saw this, Bob. You said you gave me a disc with it on. You're saying you gave it to me without watching the movie?
So, am I the only one that saw Cars 2?
Wait. Oh, no, I did see it. Okay.
Oh, go first, Bob, please.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. What? Go first?
Yes,
go
please.
Okay, I like the first movie because it was different. This movie, Cars 2, like, I thought, okay, this has been done. I got bored. Just because they moved it to England and it had Michael Caine voicing a car that was a spy, I started watching, I thought, okay, it has promise, and then it started going down. I just got bored. I wasn't interested. So, but I watched it, I just was bored.
I took my 4-year-old to see this. And my wife would argue it was more me wanting to go see it, because I'm a big Pixar fan. As to quote me,
not one of the best Pixar movies.
We're right near the end of this movie, and I'm talking 20 minutes out from the end. Daddy, this movie's boring. It's time to go home. And you know what? I couldn't argue with her. This movie was so bad. Like, at no point in this movie, I was like, oh, that's kind of good. Oh, really? Oh. Uh-huh. Great. Wow.
Maybe we should get your 4-year-old on this show.
Like, she sat there, and we're sitting beside it. We ran out of popcorn, we ran out of liquor, so I knew I was in trouble. I go, honey, it's okay, just a few more minutes. Daddy, I really want to go now. This is really boring. And she wouldn't sit. Usually I can tell her to sit, she'll sit for the rest. She wasn't sitting for Cars 2.
Yeah.
Oh, this movie stuck. Absolutely, just the same scene over and over again. Did you not find that?
Yes.
I got to the point, I wanted to reach into the screen, find Mater, find a car compartment, and go, die. Mater's done. I might have liked it if it wasn't for Mater going, baby, what's happening? Oh, too much. I'm in myself. Really? Like, I need this in a movie, a car eating wasabi? Like, really?
Well, I read that just in the papers that the major problem with this movie is that they took Mater, who is a really cute sidekick, and put him front and center in every single scene.
He drives you nuts. He's the whole focal point of the movie. And Lightning, Owen Wilson's voice is supposed to be sleeping over with him. And he's driving around, and he's racing another car. And I'm like, really? Like, this is so uninteresting. This movie was already made to sell more toys. That's it.
Yeah.
The only reason why. To sell more toys because Cars sells to kids. They love these movies. I don't get it.
The other thing is I think John Lasseter, this is like the Cars movies are his babies.
They
He's
are.
Like a car nut. And like it's sort of like when you're the head of Pixar and you're the head of Disney, if you really like something, it's going to get made. Even if it's your pet project and nobody else much cares.
That documentary on blowjobs I've been always waiting for. It's coming out any day now.
You probably are. Anyway, I would, to be honest, I did not like the first Cars. We're going to review it later. And this just did not look interesting to me, and I would not rush out to see this, even though I do like all the other Pixar films. I just think that it didn't look appealing to me.
It's awful.
And the fact that everyone says it's the worst Pixar movie made to date says a lot. Do you have anything else to add on the Cars 2?
Yeah, I guess this is the movie that proves that even Pixar doesn't always hit a whole, like a Grand Slam home run. I'm kind of sad about that.
Okay. Well, we're going to find this podcast has a lot of movies that don't hit home runs, including the next film on our list. Gulliver's Travels, directed by Rob Letterman. It stars Jack Black, Emily Blunt, Jason Segel, Amanda Peet, and Billy Collins, who didn't see the Gulliver's Travels? Oh, Karen.
I want Deb to start then.
All right, Deb just watched it fresh.
Oh, let's get the mode out.
Fresh. Not a word I would use to describe this movie. Stars Jack Black, nominally as Lemuel Gulliver, but really, it's Jack Black playing Jack Black. I mean, this is the character he played in School of Rock. And
it worked, though.
In School of Rock, it worked.
Yeah, yes.
But it didn't work here. And I was just like, I just sort of sat there. I kept, because, you know, the opening credits were really beautiful and innovative, and I thought, oh, this could be great. And then it's Jack Black playing Guitar Hero. And he's got a crush on the lovely Amanda Peet, who is a traveler. Yes, and actually, Bob, that was my reaction, too. It's like, oh, God, it's another schlub in love with an ordinarily, you know, in the next galaxy babe. She sends him off, despite having no previous journalistic experience, she sends him off to do a column, a travel column about the Bermuda Triangle. And before you know it, he's tied down on a beach by the Lilliputians. And very shortly thereafter, we see Jack Black's ass. As it bears down relentlessly upon some very unlucky Lilliputians. And, oh God, I don't know if I have the heart to go on. Bob?
Yes?
My heart will go on.
No. Okay. Now.
Go on. What do you say?
Go on. Okay. Gulliver's Travels. There aren't many Jack Black movies I really enjoy. And I'm afraid that I'm going to have to disappoint you, but this is one of the ones that I can count on one hand how many Jack Black movies I enjoy. School of Rock is one. This is another. And the one with him and Paul Troy is the other one.
Shallow House.
Yeah, that's it.
Shallow House, yeah.
Okay, he may be playing Jack. Yeah, I liked it. There may. Has anybody seen it?
I have.
Have you, Simon? Oh, darn. Can't get you on that one. Anyway, back to Gulliver's Travels. I have to disappoint Deb on that, but I did enjoy it.
The only thing I liked was the Lilliputians reenacting Kiss.
That was good. The Kiss scene was good, and the one where we're singing, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
Why are we doing karaoke? This is not karaoke.
Come on, American Idol is number one.
Don't Jack Black.
This is special features, not karaoke.
Special features, karaoke.
Fired.
Anyway, okay.
We'll get paid anyway.
I think this is a remake of another movie that is like Gulliver's Travels. Anyway, but
it's a reimagining of Gulliver's Travels, the book.
Yeah, but there was another movie that was made also, and a few years ago, Gulliver's Travels.
You know what?
There are two previous versions of Gulliver's Travels that have been movies, and one of which is an animated movie.
That's
by the Fleischers.
I've seen it.
But, okay, I did have some problems, but I did like it as a whole. I'll say that. So I'm probably alone on this. Go Simon.
This movie is a big pile of shit. Every
Thank
copy
you.
On the planet should be burnt in a huge pile of fire.
You
if there's
like
a foreign fire nearby...
You did not like the Kiss scenes. You did not like that. Whoa! Ugh!
We're talking about going.
I love the scene where he fought the big robot.
I want to take this movie and
not
burn it. If I had seen it last year, it was the number one worst movie I've ever seen in my life. I used to be hard-pressed for anything to ever beat it until I saw this year's number one movie. After seeing year one, I told people not to ever make another Jack Black movie, and they made this. I'm undecided which is worse, year one or this. They're both big piles of crap.
Are they both worse than Furry Vengeance?
Let's see.
No. These are worse.
This is
a horrible movie. Me, Deb, and Kevin, and the Dinner for Schmucks guy with mice can make a better movie.
Hotel for Dogs, how about that one?
That was a better movie than that.
Hey, okay.
No, but I mean, this is like a Frankenstein movie. They take a plot from one story, Gulliver's Travels, and they try to graft Jack Black's persona onto it, and it just doesn't work.
Why is Emily Blunt? She must need cash.
Why,
Emily? Help me here. Wolfman,
this is probably the kind of movie that pays for your vacation if you're a movie star. This is the movie that allows you to do movies you really want to do that don't pay you anything.
Well,
in theory, it's a kid's movie. it's like a...
In theory, it's a big piece of crap. Movie.
I didn't hate it that much, and I didn't like it. But there were some moments where he was recreating movies from memory and claiming that they were his.
Yes.
That was amusing. You know, the Star Wars bits and the Kiss bits.
No.
And
stuff. Nothing.
Yeah, I was amused by that. Yeah, I was amused by that. But the rest of the movie, no. Not good. Forgettable.
You know what we should call the Hobo with Shotgun?
Pretty much. All right.
Taken about.
Let's see if the next movie can redeem movies for us. And that's Hobo with a Shotgun, directed by Jason Eisner. Stars Rutger Hauer, Rob Wells, and Molly Deltworth. All right, who wants to kick off Hobo with a Shotgun? Who's seen it? Who hasn't seen it? Well, the three of us have seen it. You guys haven't seen it?
Can't
fell asleep during it.
Fell asleep. So
you can comment on the first part.
I saw about 2 minutes.
Did you see the hobo with the shotgun, or did you see the hobo?
I think I just saw the hobo.
All right, I'll kick it off. You know, I wasn't expecting much from this, and it was basically just a trailer in Grindhouse that they've expanded. It was actually made by a Canadian director, I believe. So he's remade the whole thing as a feature film with Rutger Hauer as the hobo. And it's a crime-ridden town, and somehow he ends up getting enough something to get a shotgun. He just goes nuts and starts killing people.
Or doesn't he get money from the guy that's doing the reality TV show? Isn't that how he gets all his cash?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. He gets beat up on camera for some money.
Yeah, that's it.
$50.
Something dumb.
You know, over the top, silly, comedic violence, bloody.
Very bloody.
But, you know, kind of amusing.
I thought it was a very quirky film. I hate to use that word, but it was very quirky. It definitely was trying to shoot for a certain tone all the time.
Well, but it's like a high concept movie. They had, like, I think there was a contest to do a fake trailer for the Grindhouse movie that Tarantino and Rodriguez did. And this was probably a really funny trailer. But again, it's like, the thing about trailers is that they're nothing but good shots. It's like, it's all, you know, it's all sizzle. And it's kind of hard to take 2 minutes worth of trailer and blow it up to like 80 minutes of film.
No, I think there's a good chop in this one.
But I'm just saying, it's a tough thing to do. So, like, I cut this movie slack for that reason.
Kevin, I still want to know, where did she hide that cell phone?
That was in Machete.
That was the greatest trailer of all times. I love that trailer.
So, would you recommend Hobo with
a Shotgun? Yes, I absolutely would. I'm not saying it's going to blow you away, but I love it. It's just something different to watch.
It is different. I'll give you that.
I liked it.
I'm marginal on this one.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's great.
Next film on our list is Just Go With It, directed by Dennis Dugan, starring Jennifer Aniston, Adam Sandler, Brooklyn Decker, Nicole Kidman, Rachel Dratch, Kevin Nealon, Bailey Madison, and Giffen Gluck. Who has seen this one?
Bob saw it first day. He's already had his ticket on Fandango 3 months before he got released.
All right, interns, shoot. Just go with it.
Okay, who's subjecting me to Just Go With It, another Adam Sandler movie?
So the friends is in it?
I don't care. It's negated by Adam Sandler.
You know what?
I don't like, there's only, what, one or two Adam Sandler movies that I've ever liked. And thankfully, because... he's not the only one in the movie. Okay, I can admit Jennifer Aniston being in the movie is a good. Kate Beckinsale being in an Adam Sandler is good. Spanglish is an example of an Adam Sandler movie that I don't like.
Oh,
but just go with it. Beats it. I don't. If you tell me to go watch, just go with it. I'll just say, just go away.
That's all bad things you
okay,
guys
I've got a question.
I don't like it.
And it
terrible.
Is
terrible. And that has a question.
How much movement does Nicole Kidman have left in her face after years and years of Botox and plastic surgery?
What movement?
She's solid in this movie.
You mean like one of those molded chocolate Easter bunnies?
Yes.
Kind of like that.
Just good yoga.
Yeah, I was actually very shocked to see Nicole Kidman as the comedy relief, the foil in a sense. I thought, wow, how the mighty have fallen to see her doing that.
I think she has to do something different. I mean, it must have been...
She's trying to recreate her career, I guess.
I think it was an easy paycheck. I mean, it was probably pretty cheap to do. She only had to do, what, 3 days of shooting, if that, maybe four?
In Hawaii.
In Hawaii, so what's that? Okay, let's get this...
What did you think of this
thing? Oh, it's a big pile of crap, but I'm going to bitch for numerous things in it. So just sit back, relax, and giggle.
Yes.
Okay? Here's my first issue. Adam Sandler, you're a schlep. You're never getting Brooklyn Decker. Ever!
Brooklyn Decker.
Oh. Brooklyn Decker is smoking hot swimsuit model. Perfect day. She can wear a bikini any day she wants in the movie. I'm guaranteed to watch it. But Adam Sandler's a schlap. Really? So he sets his friend up with Jennifer Aniston. You know what I mean? Ever his friend and he pretends he's some yodeling sheep guy? Really? Like, what chick is going to buy that? But Brooklyn Decker is dumb as a brick in this movie, obviously, because you watch her in a bikini, the whole thing. You watch her gambling some sidetrack from the stupid kid, the English accent. Oh my God, my 4-year-old can do a better accent than that kid. Oh, I'm acting class. I'm going to do a bad British accent the whole movie so I can get my head smacked all the time. Look at me, Daddy. You know what I want to do, Daddy? I want to swim with the dolphins. You're kidding, kid, really? It's not even your dad. Smack him, too. His son, his fake son, that's really Jennifer Aniston's kids because she screwed it up. And Jennifer Aniston needs a makeover? Not my way, I guess. Come over any time. Really? This movie is crap. Why did they subject me to this movie, Kevin? Why did they let that kid act? Fire that kid immediately. Never want to see her in another movie again. This movie is crap. It should never be made. I want my $25 it cost me to take my wife to see it, and I had to buy her popcorn. I want my money back. Who do I have to get my money back from?
Wait a second. I'm sorry. Something just doesn't ring right here. You knew it was an Adam Sandler movie. And yet you paid and brought your wife to see it?
She wanted to go see Jennifer Aniston. I have to see every Jennifer Aniston movie made. I have not missed one.
All right.
My wife loves. I have
the
to.
The Bounty Hunter?
Say that.
What did you go with her?
Yes.
You also had to wait in an exceedingly long time frame to get an autograph for your wife, did you not?
I did.
That was a bad day. Bad caca.
Yeah,
bad
I got
day.
It.
Right.
And she complained about the photo.
I saw this movie. And did I hate it? Well, yes. Did I hate it as much as you? Clearly not.
Nobody hates this movie as much as me.
I thought it was dumb. I thought it was really designed for kids, although the central premise of him lusting after Brooklyn Decker
isn't kid friendly.
No. Although she is just whoa. You know, just a whoa.
She
but there's no way that she would fall in love with Adam Sandler.
Schlep.
Although he is a rich plastic surgeon, so I'll give her that.
Like she needs him?
No. But he's rich. That's the key.
She might later.
And clearly, he's got more money, maybe.
Than Randall.
Because he just throws money at Jennifer Aniston and her family to maintain this ruse of, you know, that she's his ex-wife and he has kids and all that stuff.
Well, and he brings his stupid buddy, the sheep doodler, or whatever he is.
He did not bring his stupid buddy, the sheep doodler. He insinuated himself into the situation, and like everything else, Adam Sandler went with it.
Who cares? It was horrible.
That he just went with it, like, just go with it, like the title of the movie. That's his mistake, because he says to her, go with it, and let's play this out. But playing it out is more harmful in the long run than it is.
Yeah, listen to that kid's British accent just going
but
with it. Okay, daddy.
All of this money, all this time spent, and so forth, he ends up relating with the kids. He ends up falling in love with Jennifer Aniston. He ends up leaving Brooklyn Decker because in reality she's probably like 22 and he's unable to carry on a conversation with her.
That's what he was trying to do.
Well, I'll be honest, Simon. I mean, reality of it is that, you know, there's a huge gap between Adam Sandler, and if he just wanted a trophy girlfriend, then there you go, he succeeded. But if he wanted to have a relationship with someone who shared interests and so forth, then Brooklyn Decker was not the girl for him.
That's upsetting.
It's superficial.
Still upsetting. I can
handle it. And that's the whole message of the film, is that really you should not take for granted what's around you.
The real idea of this film is Brooklyn Decker should have some more movie roles.
Well, we see a lot of her.
We need to see more of her.
I don't know. Does she act well in this movie?
Who cares? I have no interest in she could ever act.
Is she a better actress than Megan Fox? Is like the question we should all be asking.
No.
Is anybody a better actress than Megan Fox?
She
managed to make her way into motion pictures. Huge blockbusters.
Yeah, okay.
She's able to fool somebody.
Well, she did Transformers 1 and 2, got herself fired.
Jennifer's Body.
Then she made Jennifer's Body, and then she went direct to video. So she's done. Passion Play was your last movie.
That whole thing. We have to review that.
I've watched it. Don't worry.
She has two movies coming to the film festival this year.
Does anybody care?
Joe Hicks, there is a classic.
Like, does anybody care about Megan Fox? Is she done?
Yes.
She wants a good picture with her.
I mean, I look at the Star magazines and all those, and check out. You don't see, nobody cares about Megan Fox anymore. She's on the front. We're all back to Jennifer again in Brooklyn.
Right. Brooklyn, really? Anyway, Just Go With It was not good, but it wasn't as awful as you make it out to be. There are worse films.
Yeah, Gulliver's Travels.
Game
yeah.
One.
Well, Gulliver's Travels is a good example. It's not on the list for tonight, but Hall Pass is certainly up there on the list. I can't wait till we review that one.
So is Your Highness, according to Simon.
Oh, I disagree with that.
I can't wait.
Let's get ready to rumble!
That'll be a fun show. All right, let's switch gears. What's that?
Are we in the vault?
No.
No, we still have to review Rango.
Oh, yeah, for Zach.
Or Verbinski. This is one that Zach's
reviewed. Yeah, I have to get Zach's name in here.
Stars
to get the
voice of Johnny Depp.
Zach.
Isla Fisher, Abigail Breslin, Bill Nighy, Alfred Molina, Ned Beatty, Steve Root, Harry Dean Stanton, Ray Winstone, Timothy Oliphant, Ian Abercrombie, Charles Fleischer, Alana Urbach, and Gore Verbinski himself. Rango. What the heck? Are you okay?
Right. Is that a pig in your pocket?
Yes.
It's a pig in the pocket.
Or just happy to see
pig in the pocket. okay. All right. Who saw this movie? See Rango? You haven't seen an animated film?
No. I'm sorry, someone didn't give me a copy of it.
I bought Rango. There's another one. No one gives me these things. I just end up buying them. Intern, did you see it?
No.
Dad, what'd you think?
I really loved this movie. Beautifully animated, great music, great voice acting, and it was just delightfully bizarre. Like the scene where Johnny Depp winds up on Hunter S. Thompson's windshield. Fabulous. Right then and there, I knew this was going to be a movie to love.
I had a few problems in the first, trying to figure out what was going on when he escaped the aquarium or the thing fell off. I was a little confused at the beginning. Like where this, and then the movie gets going. I find the first 10, a little confusing the first 10, but not overly. It's like, where is this going?
It's just him falling. It's equivalent to Dallas falling down the rabbit
hole. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I understood where they were going. I was kind of like, eh.
He's in his aquarium, and they're traveling across country.
And he falls out.
And something happens. They hit a bump on the road, and his aquarium goes flying out of the car and ends up on the highway.
Then he starts doing weird ad-libbing, doesn't he?
He's been weird ad-libbing all before that. He's putting on plays in his aquarium.
Yeah, which I just didn't like it. I just thought that was kind of dumb. But then I loved it. Right after that, I find this movie gets going.
Right.
When he finally gets to the town.
Dirt.
I love this movie. I thought it was great. Just fabulous.
The Mariachi Owls.
Yes. I saw this when it came out, so I probably remember. I did enjoy it.
And oh my God, we have to give some love to Bill Nighy as the genuinely freaky rattlesnake.
He was excellent as a rattlesnake.
That was some beautiful character animation.
Yeah, I love this. I think I wish it was a Rango too.
And Abigail Breslin as the creepiest little girl mouse in the history of the world.
That was wonderful.
Awesome.
She was a possum. Sorry, she thought she was a mouse.
No, I didn't like it as much as you guys did.
What?
Yeah. I thought the animation was really good. It was all Lucasfilm actually animated.
Wow. Yeah, they weren't putting Star Wars out for the 15th time.
And yeah, but they took their skills in animating, doing live action, well, not live action, but animation that looks as good as live action for the Star Wars films, and applying that to the fully realized world. I mean, you get, I think there's only one human being that you see in this movie.
Right, yeah. You're right.
Spirit of the West.
Yep.
Yes.
That I liked a lot. I liked the fact that the Spirit of the West was Clint Eastwood in a little golf cart, wearing his Man with No Name outfit. So.
I think it was a great movie.
I liked it, but I didn't love it, and I really thought Johnny Depp was annoying.
Okay, Kevin Smith.
Well, but you do raise an important point about Johnny Depp.
But, Daddy, I went to English school in the summer.
But the thing about Johnny Depp, though, is that he's right now he's on the borderline between awesomeness and just being hugely overexposed. I mean, it's not even his fault. So when you throw an actor into constant projects, you run the risk.
Hold on. Jason Bateman is way ahead of Johnny Depp.
Oh, I know, but it just for like the first, 15 years of his film career, Johnny Depp picked weird, independent, off-ball projects, and then all of a sudden, as of the first Pirates movie, he's everywhere. He's ubiquitous.
No, Jason Bateman. He's in every crappy comedy I sit through. The Switch, The Change Up, that camera or crap on that zoom in later.
And what do you say about Ryan Reynolds?
He's horrible.
I agree.
We haven't discussed Barry yet. I can't wait.
I haven't seen it.
Let's move along.
Alright, so Rango was okay.
Hey, intern.
Hey.
Open the door.
What's inside?
Oh, look at the car!
At Haitian Butthole. Sorry. Wrong podcast.
When's the last time anybody talked about animation at all?
Oh, Kevin Smith likes to talk about it quite often. And her butthole.
Okay, well, what's the first movie?
That child-friendly classic.
One of Karen's near and dear to her heart, their first new groove.
The first movie on the list is Cars.
Cars.
Directed by Brian Wilson. Starring Owen Wilson, Blair the Cable Guy, Emily Mortimer, Paul Newman, Keith Marin, George Carlin, John Ratzenberger, Michael Keaton, Paul Dooley, Eddie Izzard, John Turturro, Bonnie Hunt, and
Tony Shalhoub.
So, Cars.
Cars.
The movie. Karen, have you seen this one?
Of course I've seen this.
All right. What do you think of this one?
She sits there high and sits in a little shrine.
Oh, bite me.
Well, but the first time.
Moving right along. Thank you. Not one of my favorite Pixar movies. I applaud them for, going away from their usual, and it was a sort of a stretch for them. But it's really boring. Just really boring. Not a fan.
But I'm a lightning queen.
Owen Wilson is so awful.
He's horrible. I can't believe his brother's a much better actor and should have a career and he doesn't. Like, do people see Shanghai Nights going, wow, he's a great actor?
Shanghai Nights is awesome.
No, I saw none of you see it.
So, anybody have anything good to do? I hate this movie.
This is my least favorite. You know what? It has a strong appeal to 2-year-old boys.
Uh-oh.
My daughter looked at it and goes, not again.
Uh-oh.
Debbie's nephews love it.
But they're babies.
My cousin's son, he loves it. It's they love cars. They love things that go fast. They love stuff. The story is interesting enough to them. The bright colors. It's very well animated. My brother loves it. Steve. For some reason, he likes it.
You know why they like it? They get suckered in, they fall asleep, but your eyes are still open, and they're just watching the car.
To me, it just doesn't make, first off, I don't like the characters.
I hate them all.
Not even the
Paul
Newman
character?
No, not even the
Paul Newman character.
The whole anthropomorphic cars thing, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
I'm trying to figure out how they make money.
I want to know who built the first car. In the world of cars, who built the first car? Does that mean their history starts in 1898?
Do cars mate and have baby cars?
Well, that's what I have all these questions watching this movie.
Is it artificial intelligence?
Well, I don't know. This movie sucks. I don't really want to talk about it. Let's move along.
Turn your brain off and avoid
Bob, did you want to discuss this?
Not really. I just like
all right. Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah, here's a movie I want to discuss.
Directed by Mark Gindel. Stars David Spade, John Goodman, Eartha Kitt, Patrick Warburton, or Buddy, Wendy Malick, Tom Jones, Jennifer Darling, Kellyanne Kelso, and John Tinder.
Karen, it's your field.
Yes. Also not one of my favorite Disney movies. It just really, I mean, it had a llama that was a person that became a llama, and then they go up a hill, and yeah, I'm just not impressed.
Really?
Yeah.
No. I really loved this movie. I thought that this was one of the first times Disney really loosened up and played with the rules of animation.
Played with the rules of animation?
Or broke the rules?
Yeah, well, I mean, because they broke the fourth wall. The sequence where you see the characters running and like a little red line appear under their feet. I thought that was great.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, no, not impressed.
Not even with Patrick Warburton.
No.
That was a great role.
You know, yeah, it was just okay. Really, not. I'm really tired now. Are we almost done?
Oh my god, wake up, Karen. This movie was fantastic. I absolutely love this movie. I've never seen it before.
Thank you.
This movie was hysterical. Patrick Warburton, when he's hanging out with Mesma, or whatever her name is, he goes, "This food sucks," and goes over and takes over the kitchen and starts cooking. The best one comes in, "No, can't you that?" starts cooking. And then he goes, "I know you from somewhere," trying to figure out who knows John Goodman. I thought the first 10 minutes David Spade was grating on my nerves, and then I just gave up. I love this movie when they're doing the map scene, they're all running around the map, and they're trying to get on the hill, and they become buddies, and then they go around the map, and they go back to the map, and get on the map. Oh my god. The end of this movie, when they're all going, they don't know if they're going to live or die, and you care. I actually cared that they lived or die. I was so invested in these characters.
The movie was brilliant. With the Patrick Warburton character becoming some sort of wilderness scoutmaster.
Oh my god, and he's got all the little owl scouts going, squirrels. Yeah. And then he goes, squirrel, and he's trying to talk to the squirrel, and she's like, "What do you mean? I thought you knew how to talk to squirrels." No, the movie that sold me in this when they had all the potions and they were turning into different creatures was absolutely brilliant.
I have a question.
Yes.
Who replaced you and who replaced Karen?
This movie is great. This is good.
I don't understand this. The world is...
I have to say...
I saw this movie in theater. I laughed so hard.
This will be my top 10 Disney animated movies of all time. I love it. I can't wait to watch this again. I'm going to buy this movie on Blu-ray and watch it. I loved it. Absolutely love this movie.
What have you done with Simon?
This movie's great.
Kevin. Bob, what did you think of
it? I actually liked it. The part where you're describing the little dots and them going running around, I liked it. Like, it was funny. I agree with the David Spade.
Played the dumb
when he was David, like, when he was the king or prince or whatever, he was awful. But when he got turned into a lamb, he started learning.
I never liked to spend it.
Excuse me, Bob was talking.
That's okay.
No, it's not okay.
Yes, Mother.
I'm done.
Well, actually, I apologize to his friend.
Go ahead, Bob.
It was a fun movie.
Kevin, did you like spinach puffs?
Spinach puffs.
Are you like spinach?
No.
I want a random question.
Do I have breeze or not breeze?
I'm not answering that one.
Blue or dark blue?
Black. All right, Emperor's New Groove. I didn't rewatch it again, obviously, for the podcast.
It's sitting up there, put it on right now. I want to watch. I love that movie.
Thanks. I have no interest in rewatching it.
Then why do you have it up there on your shelf?
Because I buy everything. So
it's on the shelf.
You know what? I remember liking it.
You still want this movie.
But not loving it. I think it's a weak entry in the Disney canon.
Yes!
No. I think it's animated and has some interesting characters, but Quetzalcoatl or whatever it is, the king that becomes the llama, David Spade is not funny.
That's the problem. It's David Spade's voice doesn't work.
John
Goodman is fantastic.
He works.
He makes the whole movie.
Right.
Eartha Kitt works as the witch.
Eartha Kitt is very
funny. She works. She's witch. I love her.
And Patrick Warburton, which is why the sequel is all about the Patrick Warburton character.
Prom's New Broom.
Yes.
It's a sequel.
Yes. There's a sequel.
You haven't seen the sequel?
Direct to video. I don't have to.
My nephew
yes, you
loved
do, because we've watched direct to video. Write it down.
Got it.
Okay.
But would I highly recommend this film? No, I would. I would say go watch Beauty and the Beast. Go watch Little Mermaid.
Absolutely.
Go watch Aladdin.
Aladdin's fantastic.
The Lion King.
Lion King.
They're a lot better movies.
Yes, it is.
But Emperor's New Groove falls into a group of Disney films that were very good technically. And we're probably a little bit more interesting where they're experimenting, but in the long run, we're kind of forgettable. And I would lump in Treasure Planet
Lilo
and Stitch to a certain extent. I would put Tarzan in that group.
Nope.
I do like Tarzan, but I think it was the beginning of a weak period. Atlantis, The Lost Continent. Atlantis.
We saw it. We reviewed it. We discussed it.
And then even right after The Princess and the Frog.
Yeah, I didn't like Princess. It was just weak, I thought.
It's clunk. He hasn't seen Treasure Planet?
Treasure
what?
Planet.
Are we having a side conversation here? I should
be
aware.
Well, you seem to have enjoyed it. Interrupting me when I was talking.
Actually, I wouldn't mind revisiting Treasure Planet. It's been a while since I've seen that one. Emperor's New Groove, I didn't want to revisit. But before they went to 3 or whatever, computer generated stuff. So, I don't know. That's my opinion, is sort of like, it's okay. And I wouldn't discourage people from seeing it.
My daughter liked it.
That's good. My niece and nephew like it. You know, but it came out at the right time for them. They were like 4 to 6.
Can I say something before we move on to the next movie?
Say a lot.
This was on my bucket list of movies I'd never seen, and it's the first time I've ever seen this.
Okay, and you liked it, so that's good.
No, the next movie on the list.
Oh, the next movie on the list.
I felt kind of bad I'd never seen this before.
Metropolis.
It's always been available only partially before.
This is the complete Metropolis. Now, is that what you saw?
Yes, I saw it.
Because they found a bunch of lost footage in versions of the film in Brazil.
Yeah, I know.
A complete print that had been struck before
Fritz Lang had to massacre it, basically, by the German censors. They asked them to make cuts, and then the Americans made cuts, and she said, and then we end up with, like, the one with Radio Gaga playing in the background, and the fancy colors and all that stuff. So this is Fritz Lang's mostly first, because there's some scenes that are still lost, and they try to recreate them. Stars Brigitte Helm, Alfred Abel, Fritz Rasp, some other Germans. It's a bit long, it's black and white, no sound, just music. Who saw it? You guys didn't see it. It's tough. You have to really want to see it, I think.
Well, it's a fairy tale.
And it is a classic film, though. It's worth checking out. What do you think?
Fantastic. 5 stars. Much watch for me again. I could not believe
sense, did it.
I loved it. This movie sucked me in. I didn't like a looking silent film. 3 hours or whatever I watched, 2.5. I was like, there's no way I'm going to like this. The music kept me going. That score sucks me into every scene. The score works so well for the scenes. I thought overall the storyline was kind of eh. But I loved the lead actor. I thought it was excellent. I liked how he fell in love with the girl. It's a very boy meets girl story.
Yeah.
But the score just keeps pulling me in when he's saving the people and the music's going. And he wanted them to live.
It's a bit of a fairy tale.
Oh, yeah.
For those who haven't seen it. It's a mythical city of Metropolis. It's in the future. The lead guy is the son of the industrialist father who runs the city.
The master of Metropolis.
The master of Metropolis.
Is how he's described.
And he's the guy that built it. And the sons of the ruling class sort of live in this idyllic, protected... I mean, it's actually probably the first science fiction movie with original ideas. As opposed to, you know, Fritz Lang going to the moon and whatever else. It's interesting. I mean, there's little side bits that they go to a whorehouse, basically, in one scene in this garden. And, you know, it's just bizarre pre-code ideas.
Debauchery.
Yeah. And
but it's the
he falls in love with this girl in the city, under the city. And she's a labor leader.
Maria.
Maria. And she's, already, you know, trying to strive for the freedom and protection of her people underground. They're being oppressed as the workers. Right? And I'm trying to remember, what is it? Is it the master that goes to
Rotwang,
the sorcerer scientist?
Who looks like every mad scientist ever since.
And he recreates Maria as he makes a robot, and then he grafts some illusion to make her look like Maria.
Which is an incredible scene.
That is phenomenal.
And she's just like this whirling, like the exact opposite of the slow-moving robot. She's this whirling, dervish, devilish figure that's corrupting and tempting everybody.
And seducing.
She goes in front and performs at a nightclub. But anyway, it was interesting. It was very well done film.
It was phenomenally interesting.
I'm glad I saw it.
Amazing.
I've loved this movie since I was a kid. Like, I only saw the butchered versions when I was younger because that was all that was available. So to see the whole movie was incredible because it filled in all the gaps. Like, there were just these wonderful scenes that were just sort of random shots of what it's like to live in the future. Like, the scene where you just see people go at, like, elevators that constantly run.
Mm-hmm.
And,
airplanes flying through cavernous trenches.
Yeah, I mean, like, a lot of what's amazing is that how familiar a lot of it looks. I mean, a lot of movie makers have gone back and looked at that movie. You can tell.
I have a question. Yeah, you being a Red Shoes expert, Michael Powell must have loved this movie.
Oh, no.
Because I see
and
the Red Shoes.
I wonder if Pressburger trained at UFA when that movie was made.
Because I see the Red Shoes score very similar to the Metropolis score at times.
Yes, because I believe that was the score that was originally commissioned for the movie. There was a little blurb at the beginning where they talked about this is the score that was originally arranged.
But this movie, I can't believe the amount of extras it had in it. I can't believe the sets. You must have spent hours building these sets.
Well, some of the sets, like the underground city, now some of it is movie-making illusions with...
Oh, obviously.
Over, but some of them would have been in rooms with 30, 40 foot
ceilings. It was just amazing. I'm like, wow, he must have spent hours trying to make
this. What about the giant factory set? Where and then there's a sequence where the main character hallucinates that it's some kind of, you know, ancient temple for human sacrifice. But that's all real. Like, there's no computer generated. Like, if we're seeing it, that's there.
Well, that's what I was amazed at. The amount of work they put into making this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a hit? That's what I wanted. Was it a hit?
Yeah, it was.
Like, people loved it. Obviously, if it made it from Germany to Brazil.
Well, it was 1927.
You didn't need a double movie. You just changed the titles.
Right.
Yeah.
He just changed the cards. It was shown all over the world.
It was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
Shit. All right. Last movie on our list, Where the Truth Lies.
Oh, we better let Bob go
directed
first.
Directed by Adam McGoy. It stars Kevin Bacon, Colin Firth, Alison Lohan, Rachel Blanchard, Maury Chaykin, Arseny Kanji, Don McKellar, Kristen Adams, and who? Is someone missing from this?
I put mine away.
No,
did it not feature Kevin Spacey?
No.
No.
Where the Truth Lies? No.
No, okay.
No.
For some reason I thought he was in this movie.
No.
No.
I saw it years ago, so again, I'm not revisiting.
Kevin Spacey and Sea of Love.
Yeah.
I picked that up too.
No, Sea of Love is not Kevin Spacey.
It's Al Pacino, isn't it?
It's Al Pacino.
Yeah, Al Pacino.
Ellen Barkin.
You're thinking of the one with the sea.
You're thinking Beyond the Sea.
Beyond the Sea. I picked that up too.
See it.
Okay.
Okay,
Bobby,
talk about the movie
at
hand.
Okay.
All right, where the truth lies.
Where the truth lies? You want me to talk about it?
Sure.
Okay. I'm glad you actually put this on the list because I've rented it twice without seeing it. And then when you finally said, you got to watch this, I go, okay, I'll watch it because I've never seen it and I wanted to see it.
$1 garage sale pickup.
Whatever. I rented it twice without seeing it. You gave me a movie that has... people I really like. There isn't a bad Colin Firth movie, really. There isn't a... Okay, maybe for you. There isn't a... Putting these two together, Kevin Bacon and Colin Firth.
I can't think of one.
See, there you go. You can't think of one. Can you think of a bad Kevin Bacon movie?
Yes.
You probably can.
I had to turn it off. I can't remember.
What was that?
Hollow Man?
No.
I liked Hollow Man.
It was a direct-to-video one. It's kid. It was about gangs. It was really
anyway,
short.
By putting it on the list, you forced me to watch it. I really enjoyed this movie. The storyline was good. The two of them together worked well together. Storyline, like, they killed someone and, like, the story after that. It's a women. I really enjoy it.
She killed herself.
She killed herself?
They didn't kill her. Their assistant convinced them that they had killed her. She killed herself and all the drugs and everything, didn't she? Or did he kill her?
He killed her.
He killed her.
Kevin Bacon killed her.
The assistant killed her.
No. I remember this movie.
Oh, I can't remember. Well,
I just saw it recently.
Yes.
I saw it recently. 2 years ago?
Well, Alexa swings between, like, sort of, like, the late 50s and the late 60s. Like, how you swing back and forth, and the Alison Lohan character is the pivot, because she was one of their miracle children on the telephone that opens the movie, which I thought was great, because it's like, what if Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin kill somebody? That's basically the...
Well, it is based on truth, because this story has a lot of bearing on why Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin's friendship failed and faltered, because there was an episode in the past that they refused to talk about. And it is claimed that this story has, you know, whether it's a grain of truth or more than that, we don't know, but it is apparently based on some truth.
I did not know that.
That is correct.
Neither did I.
But I do think the Alison Lohman character as the adult, as the reporter, was very miscast.
She looks like a kid. She did it from her 20s when she made this. I know that, but it's like...
I didn't buy her as a reporter at all. At all.
Well, what I thought was interesting, too, was the idea that you have, like, this legendary entertainment team, like a buddy comedy duo, where one is gay, one is straight, and the gay partner is in love with the straight partner. And for a movie that's, you know, with fairly big stars, and a period setting. Like, that's unusual. Like, that was a twist I wasn't looking for. It was really surprising.
But I think that's why it grabbed me, because, like you say, unexpected.
I always thought he was bi. I took him as bi, not straight gay.
But the idea being that one had an attachment, the other did not.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I agree with you on that, but I have no issues with that. I always thought he was bi.
I think it's probably debatable. It could probably go either way, you know. His lifestyle was very
decadent
and unconventional for that time. And you've got to think that, you know, celebrities back in those days didn't have the tabloids to the degree that we have today, where that their stories were kept under wraps, you know, by their own people and by the studios they were working for. There was a degree of sort of, you know, live and let live, and have their own lives, whereas today everything's exposed. So there was that kind of concept that, you know, they could have had that lifestyle and had it been quiet then. Today you could never live that way.
Well, you could have that lifestyle and be quiet because the public wanted the illusion.
As well.
Want to know that they were gay or bisexual or doing other things. They had to fit an image and live to it. They sold this image. And the public didn't want to know that stuff. I mean, it's like Rock Hudson for all those years, right?
Well, and so many others, really.
But he's the most famous.
Danny Kaye.
What?
Danny Kaye.
You know, Anthony Hopkins.
And Lawrence Olivier.
Yes.
We're long-term partners.
Lawrence Olivier, yeah.
And Danny Kaye.
So, yeah. But you see, you don't know about this because they were manly actors.
Manly actors that had private lives, that had studios that also protected them, like it was an endeavor to keep it that way.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
No, I enjoyed it. I thought it was, I'm sad it didn't do better. You know, it wasn't a blockbuster. It didn't make a lot of money.
But Adam McGuire always makes very thoughtful movies, and thoughtful movies do not always clean up at the box office.
No.
True.
Like, this was a movie with a lot of depth, and it made you think. Sonny?
It was like a That's it. I don't really have much to say.
The other thing I wanted
Jeff's going to keep going. Don't worry.
No, I just want to say one last thing I want to say is the fact that you see the character, you see the comedy team when they're at the height of their fame, and they see them, they're a little bit older. They're middle aged. They've gone to seed a bit. And that's interesting.
You know, I'm not a huge fan of Adam McGoy in films at all.
Is that anyone?
Yeah, he is. This is probably the most accessible film that he's done.
Yeah, definitely more than the Jester or...
Exactly.
How about Chloe? Chloe's kind of...
Chloe's terrible.
Well, it's a horrible movie, but I think it's...
Well, I'm trying to say that he doesn't make good movies.
I don't think he's made a good movie.
This is as close to a good movie.
Yeah, I'll agree with
you. It's a bit of a jumble.
Yep.
But great cast.
Yep.
And interesting enough to maintain my interest in the whole thing.
Yep.
So would I recommend it? Probably not.
I'm with you 100%.
Would I say it's okay? Would I discourage someone from watching it? No, I would not.
I'd probably recommend it.
All right.
Bob's got two thumbs up on that one.
Deb would recommend it?
I would, but not to everybody. Like, this is the kind of movie you'd either really like or really hate.
Yeah, it's not for everybody.
Cool. All right, well, on that note, let's wrap up episode 76. Is there anything else we'd like to add? Anything people are looking forward to this fall? Film Festival is coming up soon.
Woohoo!
I'd like to say our next episode will be...
ready to get some autographs.
Yeah, we have TIFF coming up, and our next episode will be
coming up next weekend.
Fan Expo.
The one after it's Fan Expo weekend.
I'll be there.
Anybody looking for anybody in particular at Fan Expo?
I need John Aston on a Riddler shot, so I can add to my ever expanding Batman villain.
I know that Bob's going to go hang out by the Renaissance and try to get
autographs.
I'll be with Bob.
Yeah.
If I had money, I'd go.
That's okay, yeah. Bob. We'll hang out together.
All right.
I might be there too. I need Chandler Riggs and I need Michael Rosenkranz.
Rooker canceled.
What?
Yeah.
Who's hers?
Karen Allen canceled.
What?
Karen Allen canceled.
Yeah.
Is Barbara Eden still coming?
Yes.
Thank you.
Larry Hagman?
Yes.
Aiden Panettiere?
Yes.
Who cares?
Tom Felton? Is Stan Lee coming?
I guess so.
Tom Felton's showing up for anything. Next episode, our most fall anticipated show, Top 5. Get ready, boys.
Top 5
and girls. Movies.
For the fall.
Fall.
Entertainment Weekly's fall preview.
Fall preview.
Now.
Top 5 movies we want to see?
Yes.
Okay. All right, next one we're going to do Conan.
Yeah, we're Conan's on.
We're doing
all the
Conan's.
The Apes.
And we're doing the Apes.
It's Conan, that's it, isn't it?
And
Superman,
he said.
That's
Superman. Is that a Superman on the same
episode? Well, I have to see them. I don't know.
It's Conan and Apes on the same episode, maybe a couple other films.
Mm-hmm.
And then Superman in the next one.
Oh, wait. I have the sheet in front of me. Hold on.
Okay.
I do. So the
internet was working.
Yeah, it's Apes and Conan. And then Superman, the one following. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Conan, okay. Should be a good one.
I'm looking forward to it.
We're going to do all of the Apes.
Every single one of them.
And we're doing the Tim Burton Apes, too. Right?
We are. I've watched them all lately.
And we're doing Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Saw that, too.
Are we doing Apes, the cartoon show?
What?
You didn't put on my list.
Okay, no. So we're doing Apes, the television show.
No.
Fear and Loathing on the Planet of the Apes and stuff like that.
You didn't put... What the hell is that crap? That's all TV stuff.
Fear and Loathing on the Planet of
the Apes? Like, are we going to do the Red Brown Captain America television series next?
So the show was on...
Save it for the Ape Show.
Later on, they repackaged episodes as Sunday movies.
They did.
And they would be like Crime and Punishment on the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, it'd be like an hour and a half of television.
Yeah, it'd be like two episodes sandwiched together.
Okay, good night.
Like bad episodes of Battlestar.
Goodbye.
All right, well, I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon.
I'm Karen, going home to bed.
With Bob intern. Following, but not there.
And I'm Deb, and I'd like you all to know that I did, in fact, watch From Justin to Kelly.
Yay!
Oh, my God, you really did?
Was with commentary.
I saw you wrote that. I'm like, there's no way you saw it. I thought you were joking.
I was not. Well, so my mind has gone beyond the planet.
If they make it, Debbie's sure to watch.
To contact us, please email at extrafeatures@gmail.com and join us at our Facebook page.